In case you missed the Nunes Freedom Festival, don't worry. You can watch one of the event's crucial panels exclusively on Rumble or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch Lee Smith, the author of The Plot Against the President, interview Amanda Milius, who produced and directed the documentary on The Plot Against the President, and Kash Patel, former Trump administration official, chief of staff at the Pentagon, and also worked for me as my lead investigator during the Russia hoax. All three know well just how deeply the Democrats have politicized our intelligence agencies and are now using them to target their political opponents on fellow U.S. citizens. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Love you too.
It's great to be here. I'm going to sit down in 1 second. I just
want to see a show of hands, though, before I do sit down. How many of you have seen the movie Plot Against the President? Okay, well, I know what some of you are doing for the rest of the weekend. You got to watch that movie. The producer and director, genius director, this is Amanda Milius right here.
And we got good material.
And this is one of the stars, Kash Patel. Along with Congressman Nunes, Kash Patel. It's kind of like a real life Sundance and Butch Cassidy. It's really, it's a fantastic movie, and I hope you do see it, and I hope you'll see it soon. But right now, I just want to ask a couple questions, speak with both of them. I'm going to start off with Kash, because one of the things I want to point out is the kind of people that Congressman Nunes has working for him. And you are all actually experiencing this because his staff put together this awesome and amazing event. These are really just first-rate, incredible, amazing people, really hardworking. And that was one of my first impressions when I started reporting the book. So it was the people he has working for him are a reflection of how hard he works, and it's really just an amazing bunch of people. And one of the first people I met was Kash Patel, who, yeah, I mean, if you've seen, Kash has been doing some media as well lately, and again, in the movie, he's fantastic, and I speak with him a lot for the book. But one of the things that I wanted to ask him to talk about a little bit right here with all of us is what was appealing to you about what was going on? Because I know that you had not worked on Capitol Hill before. I know you were looking for work, but also look, I mean, did you see the different advantages and drawbacks at the time? Because while we are all here celebrating Kash Patel, there are a lot of people who are going after him, and same people who've gone after Congressman Nunes as well. So what were the sorts of things that were most appealing to you about working for the committee, with Congressman Nunes?
Thanks very much, Lee. And just a quick thank you to Devin's staff, his family, all the volunteers here, and definitely our friends in law enforcement for making sure we could pull this thing off today. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's the theme of my life has been best laid plans. Like, I did not want to work on the Hill, and I told Devin I would never work on the Hill, and then I went to work on the Hill. So, no, it was just a confluence of a couple of different things. Being a former federal prosecutor and public defender, Devin needed someone with an intelligence investigative background. And at the time, we both thought no one would, really pay attention to this investigation. We didn't think it would explode in the way it did. We really had no way of knowing that, for good and for bad. And then, of course, thanks to people like that dime store dumbass Adam Schiff, you kind of get a flavor of what we were dealing with. So, but Lee's right. Devin created a team, both in congressional leadership and then the staff, that was just relentless in what we did, and we were able to draft off that energy. And that's why we were able to produce the work we were able to produce. But more importantly, it's oversight work for the American people. And the reason the American people know about it is because Lee Smith was courageous enough to write a book that became a number one seller. That's nice.
That's very kind. Thank you. Thanks, Kyle.
And then Amanda Milius was kind enough, or maybe silly enough, to double down and make a movie and leave a cush job at the White House to produce it. So we were just surrounded by great people, and it was an awesome ride.
Thank you. That's very kind. Well, and that's a great lead-in to what I want to ask Amanda Milius about, because, I mean, you know, Amanda is a great filmmaker, comes from a tradition of filmmakers, a family of filmmakers, but also some of you may not know that she worked in very high-level positions in the administration, in the Trump administration in particular, in the State Department. I guess one of the things I want to ask you is, what was especially appealing about, I mean, because we all know, we saw it over the last 4 years unfold, about how these different characters coming out of the woodwork targeting Donald Trump, targeting different actual people who actually worked on behalf of the president, which did not happen throughout the entire administration. This was not the common thing. So what was especially appealing about this story? Why did you want to focus on this story?
Well, I mean, first of all, it was very well framed in your amazing book, and you guys did an amazing job bringing to light the proof that Russiagate was a hoax. And the reason that I thought it was the story, because, I mean, you and I were talking earlier, there's so many stories of corruption and abuse in Washington. I mean, you could make movies about Washington abuse all day long. But what was amazing about this is it's a real-life spy thriller. How lucky am I that I get to make a documentary that's as entertaining as, like, you know, the kinds of movies that I like to watch? I mean, it was very, you know, the script was perfect. You've got good guys, bad guys. It really is a shadowy, dark DC spy thriller, like something straight out of the 70s and 80s. I mean, obviously that's, and we've talked about this, it's kind of the style of movie that I like and that I was really into. Obviously, it kind of harkens back to the film All the President's Men, but it really is an amazing story of courage. And I think that's really what comes out of this, is honesty and courage on behalf of Devin Nunes, his amazing team, and Cash, and frankly yourself for telling the story. I mean, America wouldn't know so surely that Russiagate was a complete hoax without it.
You said something recently at one of the, Amanda and Cash have been going around and showing the movie at different screenings around the, you know, around the country to really audience who just love it. And I know you're going to get sick of me pushing it, but it's really fantastically done and beautifully shot. You said something at one of these hearings recently. One of the viewings.
Not yet. We haven't gotten to the hearings.
Thankfully, we're not
by Biden's DOJ yet. Let's not jump the shark there, Lee.
You were subpoenaed to. Yeah. You said something about how one of the important things about the story was to explain what this different configuration of the press, unfortunately, our intelligence services, which are not really working at this point. Or often not working on behalf of the American people, but are doing other things as well. You said that with the movie, it's really sort of showing people what they do and how they've done it at the in partnership with different senior Democratic Party officials. So if you can explain this a bit.
I mean, the thing is about Russiagate and why the plot against the president, the book and the movie are so relevant now is that you can see, so what they do is a nationwide hoax. Right? They hoax us on tons of different issues. And it's not just Russiagate, because we saw once Russiagate burned up, they went on to Ukrainegate, and then they went on to impeachment number 10, and whatever it is, and then they do January 6th, and all this stuff. So it's really important for people to be able to identify when these false narratives take hold, and how false they are, and how to push back on them and not be duped. And I think that it really holds the blueprint.
Cash, you've helped clarify, I believe. I mean, I've seen a few different stories about this, but you've helped clarify some of the myths and some of the nonsense that have been built up around January 6th, especially when the president asked for when the president did ask for President Trump, that is, did ask for people to be out there. Can you speak to some of that now?
No, thanks. I always like speaking to national security issues because that's what I kind of did in government, and then everyone just says I'm a political guy because the New York Times says so, but that's fine. We're suing them too.
Fake news, fake news.
But the January 6th is a perfect example of what Lee and Amanda were talking about. I mean, if you take the Trump national security policy that we were charged with, kill al-Qaeda senior leadership, wipe out ISIS, bring home hostages, crush Iran, and safeguard our southern border. That's simple logic to follow that most Americans can get behind. When you fast forward to the Biden administration, it's, what did my predecessor do? I'm gonna do the opposite. That is the most consequential decision for national security that degrades the American public's confidence in our current leadership in Washington. And January 6th is the ultimate example of that, because if you actually look at the facts that are public in the indictments, out of the 400 people arrested, only two of them had loose links to President Trump-affiliated organizations. The 398 did not. And on top of that, what they use that for is to catapult this false narrative that the big problem in the Department of Defense, which I ran, is white supremacy. And that's the kind of narrative that Amanda's talking about. That's outrageous. They've been looking for white supremacists in the DOD. And do you know how offensively outrageous that is to the men and women that serve this country? And then they say President Trump's a racist. And then I say, okay, who's the first president to appoint a minority to run his counterterrorism program in the White House ever? Who is the first president to appoint a minority to run the chief of staff of the Department of Defense? And who is the first president to name a minority and his number two at the intelligence director? It was Trump. It wasn't Obama. You know? So we got to break through on that stuff.
Well, let me ask a follow-up here. What kind of effect does this have? Amanda, you were at the State Department. I'm going to ask both of you. What kind of effect does this have on U.S. national security that we have different national security officials who are leaking false information, using the press? What kind of effect does this actually have on keeping Americans safe, where we live, work, and play?
Well, for me, the weirdest thing, I think the most consequential thing that I saw is actually that the press had an effect on national security staff in government. So when I was working at State, I'm interacting with various, you know, senior level career officials who are watching CNN and Rachel Maddow every night and are like, oh, I don't have to listen to what these people say. I'm just going to keep doing my own policy because they're all Russian assets anyway. And this is all going to come out and the president's going to be unveiled as a Russian asset. So you've literally got government officials running around in a fever dream, thinking a non-reality. And these are the people that are supposed to be doing our foreign policy. I mean, it has a huge detrimental effects because remember, the news doesn't just hoax the general public, right? It affects people that work in these positions, these very, very powerful people as well.
You're absolutely right. I mean, another example of that is just the agenda that President Trump set out and how bad the media is. It's the perfect example. President killed al-Baghdadi. He killed Qasem Soleimani. And the Democrats and the media were against it because he did it. That's insane. We rescued 53 American hostages during President Trump's tenure. That should be applauded by everybody. But the media say, because it happened under Trump's watch, say it was the wrong thing to do, and they glorify the acts of people like Baghdadi and Soleimani. And I just think that is the height of how bad and how dangerous the media has become. And thankfully, all of you are able to see through it. But we need you guys running hard, nonstop through 2022, so Devin Nunes can become the chairman again and we can get back to work.
One of the things that Amanda and I were speaking about, that we were speaking about right backstage watching some of the other speakers come up and speak, was there used to be a time when the American press thought that Middle Eastern peace was a big deal. It was an important thing. And what happens? I mean, Donald Trump creates this enormous architecture for peace with Israel at the center of it. And right, everyone dismisses it. And in fact, this administration is running over it to go back to give the Iranians a nuclear weapon. One of the things I want to ask is, because you brought up something about working at the State Department and the different people talking about, you know, all of them being Russian assets, and this has been on my mind from the very beginning. How many people believe this stuff about Russia? And how many people were sort of, how many people were like, yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. I'm just going to use it to go after this president, this administration, these people. What's your sense of that?
Well, I think they did believe it because they're so out of touch with average Americans. Huh. I mean, the D.C. Beltway, it's so out of touch that they couldn't put two and two together. They didn't understand that Trump was possible, that the president winning was possible. So to them, they had to have a secondary reason. These people, they couldn't just be Americans that liked someone that finally stood up for them. They had to have been duped by a foreign power. I mean, it's just offensive. Actually, the lie is almost like more offensive even than their actions. It's just unbelievable.
I remember you saying something when I was interviewing you. Remember saying something similar. It's still stuck in my mind. You're saying like, yeah, it's that they believed it was more possible he was a Russian spy than that he could win the White House.
I mean, you have to under, and Devin led with this, and he's right. It's the height of hypocrisy. If you could take the media and the career professionals in the deep state, they said that President Trump colluded with the Russian government and he was this Putin spy in the U.S. industry and he was using the American government to steal an election. What in reality happened was they, the Democratic Party, funded false information to the FBI and DOJ to spy on their opposition, the Trump campaign, and then tried to bamboozle the American public into believing that they were doing what was righteous for America. And if it wasn't for Devin Nunes and House Intel, you guys would never know that they are the hypocrites and we were the ones fighting for truth and justice.
When we talk about the deep state, whether we're talking about Democratic Party officials, whether we're talking about intelligence agencies, we saw this fleshed out now because you guys fleshed it out. Amanda made a movie about it. But I mean, it's not just that they were targeting Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump was the head of the America First movement. So what we're really talking about is the deep state against the American public. So I want to ask both of you, as we're getting ready to wrap it up here, what does the scorecard look like? What does the future look like? What's the map if the struggle is between career Washington bureaucrats who think they should be running the country and the American public? What's the future? How do we win?
I mean, I would just say that you've got to remember how badly they lied to us for the last, you know, many years, but really, again, boiling it down, the Russiagate hoax, completely fake, Ukraine, all of it. And to take that knowledge and take it, don't let yourself, your friends, your neighbors be fooled by the mainstream media. Don't be embarrassed to push back on it when you know what the truth is. Don't stand down, because the reason that we know this stuff, like we said, is the bravery of these two men that are on stage with me and Devin Nunes and his team. And you guys have to be brave too. It's not sometimes going to be popular to say the truth, but we have to.
I understand why people are jaded. I go around the country and people are like, you know, Devin and I started this for accountability for the American people because that's our job. That's what we signed up for. And accountability in its purest form happens in indictments. And I get that. I was a former federal prosecutor. I understand that. And I hope we do get there. But to say that under President Trump, and this is what the media is saying, that we didn't have any success, that we didn't represent your core values when you elected him, I counteract that and say, I think you're totally wrong. I think we carried out his mission because you guys were able to put him in office. And I think the accountability is going to be a steady stream over the years. I mean, if you just look back at the House Intel report and the Nunes memo, wait, where's Devin? I'm going to call it the cash memo just today. And we had 17 people fired from the U.S. government, including the director of the FBI and a deputy director of the FBI. And that's that's accountability. It's not the ultimate accountability, and hopefully we're getting to more and more and more, but this is at the heart of it. Local politics matters. State politics matters. You guys have to go out there and fight for the accountability that you put these people in office for, because it will come. We will win 2022, and we will win 2024, and we will have our accountability.
I just wanted to say one of the most remarkable things is this couldn't have started just in 2015 or 2016. The rot is unfortunately very, very old. So the fact that that Cash and Congressman Nunes helped uncover this, as Amanda has pointed out and documented, I mean, just the idea that we know what we're looking at now. So it's not just a matter of demanding accountability. We know where to look. We know where to look and recognize when there is not accountability, when these people have turned their instruments against the elected officials, the officials that we've elected to put there to be responsible to what we want. I guess that's about it for now. I wanted to thank both of you again.
Well, we want to thank you. Don't forget, buy the book, Plot
Course,
Against
Amanda
the President.
Was gonna plug it.
And it is available on Amazon, iTunes, and on DVD at walmart.com. And if you haven't seen it, it's 90 minutes long, and you've got to see it.
It's great. You have to see it. Thank you very much.
Everybody.
Thank you all for being here. And thank you to Congressman Nunes and his amazing staff for putting this together. Thanks.